By the way, talking about Kola Abiola, his political party, the PRP, happens to be the oldest political party in this dispensation.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, and you even wonder, you would have thought that by leaning and whatever, probably it would be a northern party, things like that.
Yeah.
So he will come. I'll try and see if I can get him for this Saturday.
Let's get started. We're streaming live right now on YouTube and Facebook, Nigeria Info 99.3. So we're live. You can go check it out. Let's begin. The Punch, page 8, is where we're starting from. We are working to stop Nigerians' negative image of Osinbajo.
Isn't that laughable? Okay, I have the wrong glasses on. Sorry, I got to change. One for reading and one for... Don't say anything. So the statement here says that Vice President Osinbajo is talking to embassies to stop the negative profiling of Nigerians abroad. According to him, a few citizens dent the country's reputation overseas, as majority of Nigerians are honest and straightforward people making positive impacts. The thing is, the APC that has been in government for the past 8 years cannot come out at this point in time to say they are working to stop Nigeria's negative image, when from all indications it appears that if they had their way, we would be locked down with image problems for the next 8 years. And I'm surprised that Yemi Osinbajo, the vice president, you know, maybe he was just being diplomatic, and maybe he would say that, well, I had nothing to do with it, doesn't seem to understand that the way I think parties should be run is there should be inner caucuses who would sit down and first of all take the interest of the country and the interest of the party before making certain decisions and use it as parameters, you know, to present various candidates. We haven't seen that happening. Now, from all indications, if one or two of the candidates become, which is not their own doing, but the complicit in one, become the president of Nigeria, our image problems will go up tenfold. Now is the time for us, if we want to live with it, fair enough. But the truth is, because some of the candidates that we have are carrying a lot of baggage that will dent our image. That is very clear. There is no... for me, that's why I haven't participated so much, because it's not about winning. It's about, you know, moving on from where we are. So don't let there must be balance in some of the things that, you know, that our government people say, especially at vice president level. Because if you are worried about your country's image now, if one or two people get, you know, become leaders of this country, what kind of image do you think you will have? Because the issues that would bring, you know, a taint on us as a country, vis-a-vis the leaders that we have, all of us have refused to address it. We've danced around it, we've done all kinds of things, but we have refused to pin it down. And part of it also involves the legislation of the laws that we need to put in place before we can hand over the baton to anybody to lead us. We have refused to do that. And it worries me, and it should worry anybody. It's not about North, South, or about Christian, Muslim. It's not about all that. It's about having a leader who can stand up in the world boldly. And people will be saying that, look at the image that somebody like Nelson Mandela had. That's even going too far. Look at the days of, even Obasanjo, the image that he had. Now, some persons are going to come up to say that he also had some baggage. But I don't think the damage would be as collateral. Most of the things ascribed to Obasanjo were kind of personal, you know, how do I put it now? They were not as strong as what we're going to have to deal with. And so, you know, invariably, because Osinbajo was in Ottawa, Canada, And he said that the vast majority of Nigerians all over the place are honest, straightforward people trying to survive in those places and be responsible citizens. What you tend to find is that a few people do the damage. Ah. So if a few ordinary citizens are doing the damage, you can imagine if you have a damaged leadership, what are you going to get? This calls for thinking this morning. Let us get serious about this opportunity that we have in 2023. Let's get serious about it. We need people who can stand up in the world without any taint, or at least as little as possible. You get what I'm saying? We need that, moving forward. So he urged Nigerians in diaspora to have more conversations around self-discipline and preventing people from committing crimes. And he says, we must engage countries also so that Nigerians are not profiled. Your first profiling comes from the first foot you put forward from your leader. Your first profiling. Even at local level, if your daughter wants to marry into another family, the first question you'll always ask is, who is the father? You won't even profile the bride. Or the groom is Omotani. Who is the father? So these issues we must have at the back of our minds, putting our first, when we have an opportunity next year. For those who travel, they will tell you what it's like to be a Nigerian with a green passport. Oh my God, you don't want to know. Even if you are a dual citizen, like I am, because everything is open. Even if you are even if you have dual citizenship, like Nigeria British, Nigerian American, once you put your British or passport or whatever American passport in the computer, it immediately shows that you have Nigerian origin. I tell you an embarrassing question that I got once. I was born in the United Kingdom. My own is not through Pali I was born and lived a little part of my life there while my parents were there. I got to American border. I went from the UK to America. I didn't even carry my damn passport because there was no need. On presenting my passport to the lady, I'd done passport through Esther, you just fill the form. She put it in the machine and said, next question she asked me, this is in America, how did you become a British citizen? Because it showed that I had Nigerian traces. And she said it with a bit of contempt as if you could see that she profiled. How can I present my British? Is either original or is not? But you asked me, how did you become a British citizen? And the way she looked at me, I know she kind of profiled me that this could be one of them. Totu Lotopali. So I said to her calmly, I was born there. I'm British. I was born there. Then the whole scenario changed. The respect came back on. So we know what we are talking about these things. We know, look at how they profile people from some countries in South America. If you show up any country in Europe with a Colombian passport, you understand? So these issues are very, very important when we have this opportunity next year, and that is why we are highlighting this story. Otherwise, there's really nothing to it. But it's just for us to reflect that the image of Nigeria is getting worse by the day. And if we want to do any form of repair, we have to start from the top. Of course, you know the story they talk about fish. About fish. About fish? That if a fish wants to get rotten, it starts from the top.
Oh, yeah, that part, okay.
What part did you think I was talking about? How sweet fish.
The ones that if you want to fry, you can put it in white flour.
The irony of fish, quick diversion. The irony of fish is that it is the fish that people condemn the most, that has the most nutrients. Kote.
Kote, which one? I don't.
Kote is the cheapest fish, that in fish. And that people say, I'm not a doctor, I don't work in NAVTAC, but people say it's the most nutritious fish because of the oils in it. Yes. You haven't heard of cod liver oil?
Yes, of course I have.
And where do you think it comes from? Cod? Fish? I need to take you on a lecture.
Yeah, please, lecture me.
On an ancestral lecture. But not now.
Ancestral journey. Let's take this one. Let's take this one. Page 5. It says PDP crisis, how IBB, GEJ, others move to reconcile Atiku Wike.
Well, I mean, we heard a bit of what it is, what's going on yesterday. But my feeling is that, my suspicion is that the G5, as revealed by Wike himself, have probably already made a deal with the Labour Party and Peter Obi. Though deals with politicians, if you sign it, you do whatever you did, no matter how you legalize the document, they can always renege on it. But I think the PDP is worried, and they had to get IBB Jonathan. Jonathan's part, I don't understand, because I don't know whether he bought the forms or it was bought on his behalf, but he was romancing the APC, so I don't get it. Anyway, IBB has told them to go, told Atiku to reconcile with Wike and others. And asked whether Wike and his allies were interested in making peace, Esau said, honestly, there are so many people within the integrity group, that is the Wike group,
yes,
who are genuine PDP leaders, and I've said that all Atiku ought to have done, which he can still do, is to ask Ayi to go. You know, the contention really is that they don't want a northern chairman and they don't want a northern candidate, that they feel that, you know, it should be a bit more diverse. But the question that I ask is, so how do you go about, in the midst of all these campaigns now, choosing another chairman? Let's even assume that IU resigns. Okay, we probably will hand over to the next person, right?
As interim.
As interim.
Then the party can now get together and do their whatever. And
from what I saw yesterday, though, I think that the PDP, one, is not what it used to be. It's not the party that it used to be. And two, there are some quiet interests also. Chief Bodijo said something. He said in all the political structure, there was nobody from the Southwest. And how would Atiku campaign in Lagos and he would be there? People would be asking him, Baba, you are there. What is the need for us here? And it's a pity that politics has come to that level. You see, that's why some of us, were a bit critical, or not even a bit, but highly critical about a Muslim ticket, because these issues do matter. This perception that someone has been left out. For me, I don't feel it, whether the two candidates are from the north or whether the chairman is in north and so, but politically, they know what it means. We'll see how it goes. Like Chief Bodijo said, 24 hours in politics is a long time.
Right. We're going to stay with the Vanguard page 10 this time. Kudirat Abiola killed on Al Mustafa's order. That's children.
So this thing won't go away. Now, it says here, the children of the late Kudirat Abiola yesterday maintained that their mother was killed on the orders of the presidential candidate, Al Mustafa. Kafila Abiola, in a statement on behalf of Kudirat's children, was reacting to a statement attributed to Al Mustafa. Al Mustafa had said that, where he claimed that it was Oshibajo who coerced Sergeant Jabila, Sergeant Rogers, to implicate him, Al Mustafa, during the 1998 Hoputa panel. You remember Sergeant Rogers' testimony?
Right.
Because Sergeant Rogers had confessed to having taken part in the assassination under Al Mustafa's orders. Although people, you should remember, though, that although Al Mustafa was sentenced to death by hanging in 2012, he was later released by a court of appeal in Lagos. And I'm not too sure if subsequently there have been any further appeal to the Supreme Court. I'm not sure about that. Okay. So he now said that it was Oshibajo that pushed Rogers.
Oshibajo? You know.
Yes, Oshibajo was then the Attorney General for Lagos.
For Lagos, yeah.
Yes, so that's why he said that. Al Mustafa, I think he wants to run for presidency. I don't know for which party. It's amazing, though. I would have thought that after, you know, escaping by whiskers, he would just like live his life quietly.
Quietly.
Yes. But Nigeria is a country where anything can happen.
Yeah.
And I get a sense that some people believe that sometimes it's better for you to be on the offensive, so that's like a shield armor for you. I don't know. So if you want to read the stories on page 10 of the Vanguard, and the full story is there. But I'm sure most of you, sadly, would either not even know about these things in detail or could have forgotten what happened. Yeah, we don't have a sense of history. Mm. We forget very quickly.
Yes. Fuel kills resurface in Lagos. Marketers blame depots.
Yes. About 2 days ago, the fuel kills started coming back. And now, as at this morning, I hear Ulowo Road is a no-go area. I'm sure Mobil in VI too. Same thing.
The Mobil especially along, in that road.
That road, yes. What we have here is that stations such as Mobil and Fatbems along Berger also had long queues and sold fuel at 200 naira per litre. Hayden filling station at Chidukwedu, those sold fuel, had a long queue of vehicles waiting to buy petrol. Now, the National Controller of Operations of IPMAN, Michael Shatui, told Punch in an interview that members of the association could not get sufficient products at the depot. Now, by today, NNPC will be announcing, don't panic buy, don't do this. But the IPMAN man has said there were not sufficient products in the depot. And he says, and I quote him, no fuel. Even when we were able to get small quantity, DAPMAM sold it to us at 200-202 per litre. By the time we transport it to our stations, the cost will be around 210 per litre. And he added that getting petrol to members' filling stations from the depots now cost as much as 200 per litre in some instances. Then she said something that, you know, I found a bit embarrassing. She says that the bad Abuja network had led to breakdown of petroleum trucks, which, according to her, had resulted in apathy on the part of the drivers in taking products to the federal capital. The bad road network. Why should we ever get to that point? Okay. A spokesperson for State Oil Company, the NNPC, Garba Din Mohammed, could not be reached for comment as his phone was switched off conveniently. And messages sent to his phone were not even delivered. Talk less of thinking that you get a reply. The oil marketers are here, you know, from what I'm reading here, are lamenting what they call the imposition of a 0.5% tax on the gross turnover of the petroleum by the Finance Act. And the Depot and Petroleum Product Marketers Association Executive Secretary Olufemi Adewale, on the sideline of the maiden edition of the Platforms Africa Continental Forum held on Monday in Lagos, said the tax could shut down businesses and also fuel scarcity crisis if the federal government went ahead to implement the new tax regime. Both states and federal governments are always quick to want to tax the people. But A, they won't put it to good use. Half of it goes into the cookie jar. And are always reluctant to even account. You remember yesterday the story we had of a minister who found 200 and something billion put in the budget of
our ministry. In our budget,
and she said she didn't know how it got there. That's part of your taxes being put to work. Sad.
It's quite sad. Let me take this one, then we take a few comments if we have time from social media. But let's take this headline here from Daily Trust on page 4. Why we adopted co-regulation, media owners.
We've been battling this thing. I give a lot of kudos to my colleagues, the likes of Lanre Idowu, Taiwo Obey, and a few others, Faye Smith, all of us. I remember close to about 15 years ago, if not more, we were still battling on having some media practice code that would be acceptable to. Because what we have now, to be honest, and in deference to those who, what we have now are regulations where the regulator is the judge, the jury, and the prosecutor, okay? And have been subjected to the whims and caprices of the political side of government. You understand what I'm saying? What you do find is that sometimes in trying to regulate, it's to breathe down the necks of media practitioners, it's to breathe down their necks and for political reasons and so on and so forth. So we are trying to see if we can have an ombudsman that will be acceptable to all, that will handle these issues in a more professional manner with less political influence. It will take a while for us to get there, but surely we will get there. To educate us more, next week I'll try and bring in Mr. Lanre Idowu or Taiwo Obey, both of them, for us to look at this issue. But I'm sure I worked on this thing close about 15 years ago. We were all housed somewhere in Abeokuta, you know, courtesy of Chief Segun Oshoba, who was the governor at that time, you know, to see if we can get an accelerated code. But let me see. A communique was signed by MPAN Executive Secretary Faye Smith, and he said, media chiefs and operators noted that the success of the co-regulation will be achieved via a workable enforcement mechanism. Mm. And according to the communique, the media roundtable was convened. Okay, that was the media roundtable. And it says, to achieve co-regulation, the Nigerian Press Organization, NPO, comprising MPAN, NGE, NUJ, along with BON, would work together to make the co-regulation system effective, particularly through the establishment of the ombudsman at local and central levels. Okay, so let's keep our fingers crossed. The media is very, very important. That's why they call it the first estate of the realm. As it is now, one is not too happy with media practice in this country, both in terms of the practice itself and in terms of the regulation. Hopefully we'll be able to clean it out so that we can move forward to having a better country.
We're going
to
take our last story. Let's take our last story. Page 25 of the Daily Trust. Price of pure water to increase over high cost of production.
Not just has the price of pure water increased, the quantity has gone down. How do I know? Okay, so I live right bang in the middle of the city. I don't have water that I can drink. I can't open the tap. And I don't know anybody who can do that. So what do I do? Look at the dilemma. Look at the dilemma of the average Nigerian. I live in what you would probably call a highbrow area.
That's right.
Okay. So a tanker brings water every day for us to have our bath. Okay. Then I have to have bottled water to drink. And because of the cost of bottled water, I now have to put a bucket in my toilet and fill it up in my bathroom and fill it up with pure water that I use to brush my mouth in the morning. I mean, what kind of a life is this? That's what we have in a megacity called Lagos.
It's called soft life.
So that's how come I know that every day I've watched the pure water itself from a fat, robust pure water that we started with. Mm. The thing has thinned out. Very soon it will be just about the size of those lollipops we used to sell in the traffic some years back. It'll be the side of this yogurt something that...
I've actually seen one before. Maybe it was a mistake or maybe it was Jara.
Yeah.
It was like that.
Yes. The you know, you used to be able... Okay, I can tell you specifically. You could get about 2.5 plastic cups. Now you'll be lucky if you get one full cup from the pure water that is being sold at. But just for you to know again, it says here that the cost of pure water is going to go up. Definitely, it's real. Okay, and I don't know if it doesn't state here from what to... Okay, it says here, I don't want to talk about inflation, but if we are to talk about it, I will tell you that presently what informed this training. Okay, since presently ATWAP members are just doing charity business because, as you know, if you input all your costs into production and you put it at what you want to sell the product, Nigerians will buy pure water at 50 naira per sachet. I think it's more than that. Philip, how much is pure water? How much is it? 40. 20. Well, this gentleman.
Oh, wow. Better 20, brace for yourself. One. 20 naira 50. For one.
Very soon, we won't be washing our mouths again.
20 naira for one?
Yes. You keep spitting in a cup from overnight. They used to wash your mouth.
20. Okay. Anyways.
That's very expensive. You can't say you don't buy pure water.
No, I buy. I mean, obviously.
I saw you, yes.
Yeah, if you're on the island, you have to buy.
You have to buy.
Right? So I don't buy.
And you live in the high brow.
Hey, Auntie Dale, my profile is going out.
You live in the high brow.
I was with one of your fans yesterday.
Victoria. You live in Victoria.
And the person was telling me how I move about. I said, Okujimi has released your entire profile. I said, okay. I mean, look, so buying pieces, I don't do that.
You buy them in bags.
Yes. So that's why I was surprised. Like 20 naira, like. That's a lot for one sachet.
You know, it's funny because my housekeeper just adds it to my bill. But I didn't even know that every time I opened one, it was 20 naira. And now, it is likely to go up to 50 naira.
Oh, no way. That now, can happen.
Somebody is on the salary of 30,000 a month.
That cannot happen. That cannot be allowed to happen. We have to go now, though. We have to go.
For the good old days of Idiodo. Mm.
Lagos, Jimmy will be back at 9.
I'll be back at 9.
Okay. For Diabum, I'm Sheriff Quadri. The news is next at the top of the hour.
And I want to assume that you would run because I want to give the listeners context for the conversation.
In 2019, you were running late to Atiku Abubakar. What did you learn then that you will not repeat this time?
Yes, when is the president coming out to address us?
There's a few things. One, I have a burden and a passion for young people.
The fact that you have elected a man does not mean then you begin to order him around. The president will do whatever is good for the country at any given time.
Mr. Adesina, isn't the president responsible to the people?
What should the next president do to root out stakeholders who are complicit?
You fire those that need to be fired, get fired.
It's looking like a brand new Chelsea, attacking with so much fluidity. And what can you say about that, Martin? I know you follow Chelsea quite closely.
I live close to the Chelsea training ground. That's what you mean by that. I'm not